morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Thank you so much for being with us. 3 hours of all kinds, mostly football. It's going to be a lot of football. There's going to be other stuff too, but there's going to be a lot of football over the next 3 hours. Abe Gordon in for the one final day this week. Great work this week with Abe filling in for Randy. Randy will be back on Monday, so we'll get his thoughts on everything that happens over the weekend. But good morning to you, Abe. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It's a little bittersweet. I've had fun working with you. I mean, I always work with you, but fun hosting with you.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, the sweet side of this is I got the soccer game tonight, pre and post game,
right.
Star 94, 7:30.
Right.
And I got college football game time tomorrow, 8 o'clock until noon. And then I'm off.
Yeah, man. Then you finally get some days off because you've been obviously working with us 5 days a week or 4 days a week because Wednesdays you're doing the night show, and then you're doing college football game time, and you're doing Atlanta United stuff, and you're doing ABTL shows on the weekends. How many, like on average, how many days a week have you worked in the fall?
I've been doing six-day weeks
on average,
single week.
Yep. Yep.
With every once in a while, when the Falcons hosted a 4:25 game, for instance, I did a Sunday morning show.
Right.
So that would have been seven.
So then that would be seven. So you might even average like 6.5 days.
To be
week.
Fair, Conti is asking me to take days off. And I'm just like, it's probably just easier if I just come in and work, man. Like, it stresses Bo out. It stresses, I mean, maybe it doesn't,
Stress me out.
No.
No offense.
But like,
I think you should take days off. That's not because we don't want you here.
Yeah.
It's just when you work seven consecutive days and the boss says stay home for a day,
yeah.
It's okay if you do that. Like, we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, next week you'll be gone all week long. We'll be all right.
He's getting
like,
serious
we're gonna
about
miss,
it, too.
We're going to miss you. We're going to hope you have a great time on
you're not going to know I'm gone.
Randy's going to miss you the most. He's going to be so sad that he didn't see you for two straight weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the Friday before that. So that's like almost
it's like a second
weeks.
Make. He's going to get home from Bora Bora.
He's sad, yeah.
He's going to be like, oh, man, work tomorrow. And then he's going to show up, and Bo's going to be sitting in the podcast office. He's like, it's not even like work this week, is
he's
it?
He's like, what? Dang it, Abe's not here? This is horrible. That's going to be his reaction. Anyway, but a vacation well-earned, and I know that you're looking forward to it. It's one of those things where it's like not really right around the corner, like it's not at 2 o'clock today. You still got to work tonight. You still got to work tomorrow, and then you'll be able to go on vacation on Sunday. So we don't have to worry about Abe being a short-timer. You're not one of those senioritis type guys.
No, I don't check out.
When you have a vacation coming, and then that Friday, we hardly get any of you. We got 100% Abe today, all right? Between now and 2 o'clock. And we got a lot to get to. We will spend a bit of time in about half an hour on the college football Saturday. Obviously going to do a lot of NFL No Huddle in the noon hour. Pretty fun game to start the week 8 slate last night. Rams aren't bad, man. We talked about it yesterday. When they got all their guys, they're a pretty good football team. They just haven't had all their guys for the majority of the season. And I know everybody's talking about the missed call late, and rightfully so. It was egregiously missed. I don't know why things like that aren't reviewable. I don't know why anything is unreviewable at this point where so much is. But I would understand being very mad about that if I was a Minnesota Viking. But so it goes. The Rams played really well, and they won the game.
Couple of things in regards to that game last night. Like, yeah, I think we could probably shelf the Cooper Kupp trade talk and the Matt Stafford's on the move.
Yeah.
Like, that's a team that can compete.
Definitely.
When they're healthy.
Definitely.
And you mentioned that. In terms of the non-reviewable face mask, the other thing is, like, that review is 12 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
Like this isn't about slowing the game down. Like, takes one look, man.
Right.
You see his head turn.
Right. That wasn't going to be one of those ones where you need multiple angles.
Yeah. It's quick. It's done. And so, should be. It should be.
Yeah, I don't know. We got into it a little earlier this week just about, like, I think regarding the targeting stuff that happened with Georgia and Texas on Saturday, it just, you know, the letter of the law, and I understand it, but it still is, it's very, very penalizing for a play that happens all the time and doesn't seem to be fair offense to defense and all of that. Like, we've opened Pandora's box to replay. And there's so much that is reviewable. And they look at it in extra slow motion, HD zoomed in frame by frame to make sure that they get it right, to try to make sure that games aren't affected. And then you have something like that in real time all of America saw.
How do you miss it?
I don't know.
How do you miss it?
I don't know. And you said this, and I'm going to assume it's true because it's
sure.
Kind of fun that it might be.
It was reported.
It was reported that, and we can check, that it's the same crew that missed the Kyle Pitts PI call in the back of the end zone against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which was also egregious. Not as egregious as this.
Right.
Like, and, you know, pass interference is at least a little subjective. That was obviously pass interference, should have been called, and Falcons maybe win that
but
game.
But I'll be honest, like,
it.
At the time, live speed, I did not think it was PI.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Or I wasn't, like, up in arms about it.
I don't remember losing my mind
then,
in real time, and then they showed
the replay, like, oh, man, that's not good.
He mugged him. Now, yeah. My immediate reaction was Kirk's got to throw that ball higher, and then they talked about that and whatever. But that's the way that the game ended last night. Hopefully, we're not talking about anything like that on Sunday between the Falcons and the Bucks. There have been some bad calls that have swayed Falcons and Bucks games in the past. You don't have to go too deep into the memory bank to remember when Grady Jarrett sacked Tom Brady and got called for roughing the passer because he kind of landed on him a little bit.
Because
of gravity. Like, gravity exists, and you're not allowed to have gravity exist around Tom Brady. Baker's probably not going to get the same benefit of the doubt of calls, but Baker's playing really good this year. We talked about, this doesn't mean everything, but it doesn't mean nothing either. Baker's second in the NFL in terms of fantasy point total this season. Like, the dude's balling out. And you saw it when the Falcons played the Bucs a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night. That first half he played was, I mean, it was nearly flawless. When he gets into a groove like that, he's as good as any quarterback in the league. You can also affect him, and he can make mistakes, and you can make him make mistakes. Hopefully the Falcons can do that on Sunday. But if you don't, just like Geno last week, if you don't put pressure on Baker, he will sit back there and he will pick you apart.
There is the obvious counter to that discussion, which is that Chris Godwin is one of the four best receivers statistically in the NFL this year. Mike Evans, we know what he's done over his course of his career and continues to do this year. And Baker's not going to have those guys.
True.
And for the first time all year, he's not going to have either of those guys. And so you could sit here and tell me that Baker's where he ranks, but like with those guys. I'm interested to see what he does without those guys. There's also the potential, we don't know yet, of Bucky Irving. He found himself unable to practice the past 2 days. If it's Rashad White and Sean Tucker, so be it. But like, I think Bucky Irving is a tougher matchup in terms of kind of have to game plan a little bit more for him out of the backfield. Rashad White can run the ball, but I don't know how devastating he's going to be out of the backfield. I mentioned this a couple times this week, Bunk. It just feels like it's a Cade Otton game. If you're Baker, you got to rely on a guy you trust a little bit. That's not McMillan. Sterling Shepard, I know, had some good years recently. I know him and Baker were college teammates, and maybe that helps him out a little bit. This feels like a Cade Otton game. And if you could slow that down, if you can limit the run game, Baker's not going to look like the second-best quarterback statistically in the NFL this weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking to Joe Patrick about it yesterday, and given the way that the Bucs-Falcons game went a couple of weeks ago, and given how recently it was, it's easy to look at this one and be like, well, it'll probably be similar. I mean, that was both teams scored 30 points, went into overtime. Both teams were pretty explosive offensively. Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards that day. Joe was talking yesterday about, you know, for a variety of reasons, one of them being that the wide receivers are out for Tampa. Maybe Tampa wants to slow this game down a little bit. Maybe they want to try to limit as many possessions as they can. Obviously, keeping the Falcons' offense off the field would be beneficial, what they did to them a couple of weeks ago. But just in general, like, the Falcons' offense is clearly the strength of the football team. Maybe this one looks a bit slower and a bit more of a grind than that one was a couple of weeks ago, which, my opinion, does not benefit the Falcons if the game looks like that.
Well, here's the problem with that, is if the Falcons don't have to trust that you can beat them in the air, they can load up against the pass, and it's not going to feel that way for Tampa. If you're not threatening in the pass game,
right?
Rashad White's not going for a 65-yard rumble.
I understand those two receivers are very good, but if you don't affect the passer, which the Falcons don't, at a consistent rate, even when we're talking about just hurries and stuff like that, they're still bottom third of the league as far as that stuff goes. Obviously, dead last in terms of sacks. You let Baker sit back there, whether it's Cade Otton or Jalen McMillan or whoever, he still can pick you apart. The bottom line is the same bottom line defensively as it is almost every single week.
That's true.
You have to find a way to pressure the quarterback, and they do not do that very well. We have 3 hours we're going to try to figure out how they're going to get there, okay? We're going to come up with a way to get them there. No, we're probably not, but that's going to be a huge storyline this Sunday, as it is every single Sunday for the Falcons, and unfortunately, I still don't know what the answer is. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick the show off on a happy hour Friday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. If you're out there getting ready to drink something or drinking something on a happy hour Friday, send us a picture of it on Twitter at TBM929. We'll give you a shout out. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the most positive way possibly, say, I really don't care, you know? And I'm really being positive. I don't, you know, you want to go out there and you got to play. You want to get back on the grass. And they're all important. Like we talked about outrunning the South, and it's like, hey, man, you know, line up the guys and you play them. And we're not a part of the schedule-making situation. However that plays out, I know that's a big thing for all of us. It's a big thing for our fans. But, like, literally, man, when they put them on the schedule, we got to line up and go play them. Yeah. In the most positive way possibly, say, I really don't care.
Yeah, I got it. We got it. You're being very positive about it. That's Raheem from yesterday talking about playing Tampa again. It is interesting to be playing them so early in the season, and they kind of reshuffle the deck every single year with the way that they do it. Remember a couple years ago, you played almost all your division opponents.
Like four of the last opponents. Five games would be NFC South.
The final weeks of the season. They spread it out a little bit differently now. But yeah, I mean, these are the two best teams in the South, and they're going to be done playing Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I mean,
we had that Sports Jeopardy question a couple weeks ago. Like, Taysom Hill beat the Falcons twice in a three-week span.
Yeah.
Like, this is twice in, what, 4 weeks or whatever it is?
Yeah. There's only been – has there been two games between then? Yeah, the Panthers. That's right. The Panthers and the Seahawks.
And the other aspect of this is, like, early in the season, late in the season, I get it. Like, you do get a little lucky that you're catching them at the right time in terms of them being affected by injury.
And definitely.
Yeah, you've got some injuries, too, and you'll deal with that. But this may be, to your benefit, hopefully, the worst version that the Buccaneers – put out on the field.
Yeah, like they obviously, and they'll say this, and I'm sure they have, and whatever, like they don't think about it like that, and they shouldn't, but we can say it.
They also haven't had a week to work out how it's going to look without them. Like, this is their first go at it.
They lost those guys late in the fourth quarter of a game where they had been down huge, where they were trying to make a big comeback against Baltimore, and Godwin and Evans get hurt. So they had them the majority of that game, and then they were without them for a while, and they haven't played a game without them yet, like you just said. It's okay to say that's a massive benefit for the Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, whereas it might be more dramatic, it might be more impactful if you were playing those guys in week 18 for the division and home, whatever it was. I prefer to, whatever week it is, I prefer to play those guys without Godwin and Evans.
Yeah,
now, and that's what you have on Sunday, so that's great.
In theory, it could go the other way, too, is that you don't know what they're going to look like without those guys,
sure.
And so you could catch you by surprise. Maybe if in week two you had seen a couple of weeks of them without Evans and Godwin, you could game plan slightly differently. I think this is probably the best aspect of it because I don't think they know how it's going to look or how it's necessarily going to work. There's no way around it. It's a huge – forget the injuries, forget all that. It's obviously a huge game in the division because you've already beaten them once. This is their return, right, at home for them. You already got them here. At home for them, chance to pull even in what would be eventual tiebreaker scenarios, and then you play out other tiebreakers. If you sweep the home and home, I mean, it's a massive advantage.
Yeah, you're 4-0 in the division. You have two wins over the other best team in the division. You're 5-3 at that point as well. Feels pretty good. Like
3-0 on the road, undefeated with 92.9 watch parties, potentially.
Also true. All those things are true. And we'll tell you all you need to know about the 92.9 The Game watch party throughout the day today. If you're looking for a place to watch the game on Sunday afternoon, 92.9 The Game Bud Light and myself will be at Hammerhead Seafood and Sports Grill in Suwannee. Starting at 1 o'clock, we got Falcons tickets to give away. We got an autographed Kyle Pitts helmet, Bud Light specials. Must be 21 plus. Please drink responsibly. Here's the Falcons injury situation. Significantly better than the Bucs. Bijan didn't practice yesterday, but that was rest. Justin Simmons was limited at practice yesterday with a hamstring. Should be fine. Troy Anderson was limited, but he was back at practice yesterday and Wednesday. So seems like he's trending towards playing, which would be huge. Obviously, he hasn't played since he had that massive game against New Orleans all those weeks ago, pick six and all that. Matthew Bergeron also at practice. So the guys that have been out, and you lost Bergeron last week, and it was a neck injury, and you never know the longevity of that and how long he's going to be out for. Sounds like he's going to be back on Sunday, too. So you have the advantage as far as health goes.
You even got Ryan Neuzel back, and I know he was kind of a question mark, too. And he was the backup center, and that'll help as well.
All that seems positive. Now you just got to go out there and do it on Sunday against Tampa. We'll get back into what?
Can I just ask you, like, is it as simple, and it's the NFL, it's never this simple. Is it as simple as, like, don't be flat like you were against Seattle and you win this game? Like,
no, just because I think Tampa is good.
Okay.
Like, I think they're pretty good. I mean, you saw it, and again, with Godwin and Evans, but you saw it when you played them a couple weeks ago. But it would help go a long way.
Well, but, I mean, like,
go a long way. If they show up flat like that, they're going to get blown off.
I don't know how you lose this game. Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. But I don't know how you lose this game if you've got the energy that you had against Carolina, Tampa previously, New Orleans, like in that run beforehand. Like, you got killed by Evans. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Godwin's gone. I don't know how they beat you if you're not flat. And that's the charge, by the way, for Raheem Morris is.
Yeah.
Don't look that way.
You can't have back-to-back performances like that just from, like, a attention to detail, preparedness, whatever, like ready to go at kickoff standpoint.
Also, we talked about the fans against Seattle. If you look flat and lose this game, the fans the rest of the season at home are just going to be – I mean, it's the realest – that's how it is.
It is, but, like – and I know Joe – I think Joe – it almost hurt Joe to say what he said yesterday when
man
he was
on
with
people,
us.
Joe Patrick.
Well, just man of the not blaming anything that's off the football field, realist Joe Patrick. The stadium didn't have a good atmosphere on Sunday. All right,
players got to battle through that.
I don't care.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you play them in an empty stadium. You have to bring the energy. Like it's
right.
It's one of 17, man. Like, you have an opportunity to play 17 games. You don't get to be flat because the fans didn't cheer loud. Like, I don't know. Like, we're giving these guys too many outs if that's what we're talking about. Maybe play good and the fans would cheer louder. You know what I mean? I think it's not a chicken and the egg thing. I think it's very obviously what the cause and effect is as far as that goes. But you want to blame the fans for it, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Let's hear a little bit from last night's game. Here's Matt Stafford looking awesome.
Vikings bring three. Stafford well protected. He drills one right side end zone. Caught! DeMarcus Robinson with his second of the half. He flings it into the stands. And John Matthew Stafford has four tonight.
Yeah, man. Matt Stafford, it's amazing how good he looks when he's got all his weapons out there. You had Puka Nacua back. You had Cooper Kupp back. Kyren Williams, another touchdown. I think that's 10 games in a row now where he scored a touchdown. And the Rams aren't dead yet. We talked about it yesterday. And I know that division is still up for grabs. I just think having watched like bits and pieces of and quite a bit of the Rams this year, they're tough, man. They're a headache to play. And that's without their guys. They had their guys back last night. They beat one of the best teams in the NFC in the Vikings. And they're 3-4 now. And in that division, that very much means they're alive.
Did you see the Stafford touchdown to Cooper Kupp when he avoided two rushers, kind of dipped and dived? And then just once he got away from those two guys, forget
just
it. There was
let it
no
rip.
Way. I didn't know it was going to be to Kupp, to Nacua. I don't know where it was going to go. There was no way that wasn't going to be a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And they're amped. And they're back alive. And just again, like I was like, what is this team really going to be? They're back in it after last night. I'm convinced. The question now for the Vikings, and I know it's a road game after a short week, but got off to a great start.
Yeah,
they were one of the last undefeated teams in the NFL, and now you start to question like, what is this team really? What tier are they? I mean, they got some great players.
They got a real nice soft landing spot coming up. They lost two in
Carolina?
A row. Not quite that soft, but close.
Oh.
They lost two in a row to good teams. Obviously, the Lions are very good, and they'll be competing
with
them.
But they did well in that game.
They did. They got the Colts at home, which you like.
Trending up, I guess.
At the Jags, which is one of the easiest places to play in football, and then at the Titans, who are awful. So those are their next three.
So they're what, 5-2?
5-2, you got to get to 7-3. You're 7-3 through your first 10 games. You feel pretty good about that.
I mean, at that point, you... rest of the season, two wins gets you in the playoffs. You can get to 9 wins, you're probably in the playoffs in the NFC.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Ten.
Everybody
maybe.
But everybody in their division.
That's
is so
the concern
good.
Is just how much
they're gonna cannibalize each other. But anyway,
that fun was, game though. Fun that, game.
Yeah, it was a fun game last night. Good way to start the week 8 slate. We'll get to an NFL no huddle talk about all the games coming up on Sunday in about half an hour from right now. We'll do a bit more college football coming up in 10 minutes from right now as well. No Georgia this weekend, obviously. They've got a bye. Atlanta United tonight.
Yeah.
Game one of a best of three game series, best of three game playoff series against Inter Miami, Lionel Messi, and all that. Down there, where Atlanta United is one of two teams to have a win this year. So there's a chance. Now it's a short week. Miami's rested. Just got to win. Got to win two out of three. Not aggregate.
It is their third game in 6 days.
That's a lot.
Played last Saturday against Orlando on the road.
It's a lot of games.
They played Montreal Tuesday on the road.
Yeah.
And now they're in Miami on the road. So three straight road games in 6 days.
What's Miami been up to since then?
Chilling.
Yeah, they kind of clinched.
They obliterated some team last Saturday, set a new single-season points record. They scored 6 goals in like 9 minutes. They were down 2-0, and I was bummed out. I was like, oh, man, like they had an opportunity to set the single-season points record. They go down 2-0, and I'm bummed out. I look back. It's like 4-2. It's like, what happened?
I mean, obviously, the intent is to win every game, but like – with everything that you just said going into this game tonight.
I thought about this.
You just rest, guys.
I thought about
this. Try to win the home game next Saturday.
I'll tell you why the answer's no.
Okay.
Because I think you have enough time for full recovery on the back end.
Okay.
If this were a short week where you also played Wednesday, I would ask that question very seriously. I think because you have plenty of time to recover on the back end, you still go for it.
You have until Saturday, November 2nd.
Yeah.
To play them again.
Full week.
You have 8 days.
Yeah.
To get recovered for that one.
But hey, okay, I thought about it. I thought about it.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Let me and Abe go out there and play them?
Now, actually,
to rest people.
I guarantee if you and me were out there, it might be better case for Atlanta United because we would injure someone.
Myself, most likely.
We might take Suarez out unintentionally and then like he's just not available.
I rolled my ankle stepping on to the treadmill this morning.
Was it moving already?
No. No, it wasn't. I just wasn't paying attention.
Wow.
I was trying to send a text message.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Like, it's not, that wouldn't be good. It'd be kind of fun to be up close to those guys. I'd be worried Suarez would bite me. He hasn't done that in a while, but he used to. He used to bite a lot of people. Like, bite people.
Yeah, like twice. I don't know about a lot.
But that's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah. You like, in as a grown-up.
Why are you bringing up old?
Biting one person as a grown-up is a lot of bites. Two is outrageous.
I can think of some instances you might want to bite someone.
Outside of, you know.
That takes all the instances away. Okay.
That's consensual and private. Like, in public, when's the last time you bit somebody? Preschool, probably.
An adult? Because I have a nephew. I might, like, joke play with him and fake bite him.
All right.
Does that, I don't know if that counts.
Jack bit me yesterday.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
So he's a budding Luis Suarez.
Yeah, I think that's right. We'll come back. We'll get to some college football. A lot of really fun games coming up tomorrow. Some not that fun games, too. We'll talk about those also. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One in particular. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We're going to go back-to-back NFL no huddles to kick off the noon hour. I guess that'll be the majority of the noon hour, about 45 minutes of football looking ahead to Sunday. We'll make our picks against the spread coming up at 12:40 and play Sports Jeopardy. Everybody did pretty well last week. We've all kind of been pretty hot as a show. Now, Randy's not here. Randy did the little bit of communication we've had with Randy during his vacation. He sent us a couple of NFL picks last night, right?
I want to go on the record. That was not spurred on by me. I did not reach out to him.
Nope.
I did not text him.
No, he just sent them over. But it's
his own doing.
I have had so many questions. Look, I know he's like fully enjoying himself on vacation as well he should be. But like there was like two NFL picks, but there was some stuff scribbled next to it. I don't really.
He didn't have the actual lines.
Okay.
He was just taking a game and then was like, give me like, this team, whatever the spread is.
He's like, I think this is it, whatever. And then
I
he's like,
put in the extra work.
So he picked the NFL games, but then he was like, I'm not picking college games. Andy, have your wife do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, she'll happily do that. I don't know. He has that. I don't know. Whatever. It's all fine. It was just a very unusual text interaction last night as we're trying to figure out who's doing picks and all that different stuff. So we'll get to that coming up at 12:40. I will say this. Both of my wife's picks on behalf of Randy come from an incredibly petty place, and I will be able to try to illuminate just how passionate of a college football fan she is. Told the story of how the closest we ever got to divorce was when I bet against App State a couple of years ago. I shouldn't have done it. It was dumb. But I never in a million years would have thought that it would be as bad as it was.
I don't necessarily know the whole story. Did you win the bet?
Won the bet. Didn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Would it have been worse to lose the bet and then she's like, you don't have faith in me or my school?
No, it was just that I did it. And that's what it was. And I did win the bet, and I thought maybe that would soften
the
blow.
Yeah, because
it didn't soften
the blow. I have some issues there because
I was right.
It was too good of a line, and you recognized it.
I just knew Coastal Carolina was going to beat them by 9, and they beat them by 13.
Like good feathers or Godfeathers. You did it for the family.
I did. She didn't see it that way. There was people at our house watching the game with us. They left because it was awkward.
Now, and were you openly rooting?
Well, at the end.
That's a different story now.
That was the problem, was at the end, the App State quarterback threw a pick 6 to get to the spread. And
you backdoor covered on her.
Backdoor cover. And she was like, what are you doing over there pumping fists? And I was like, I wasn't. Anyway, we'll get back into that in an hour from right now. Let's talk about the games that are actually happening this weekend. I won't say tomorrow entirely because we'll start with one that's happening tonight. And it has college football playoff implications. Boise State and UNLV play tonight. Boise State 5-1, 2-0 in the Mountain West. UNLV 6-1, 2-0 in the Mountain West. They play in Vegas tonight at Allegiant Stadium. The spread is only 3.5. Boise favored by 3.5. UNLV probably most famous this year for what happened with their quarterback leaving the team. They've been fine since. Boise State obviously most famous for Ashton Jeanty being a Heisman front runner. This one's going to be fun tonight.
So a couple things to note here, Bunk. First, shout out to the Morning Shift's Tiffany Blackman. She's going to be part of the broadcast crew for this one.
Great.
So excited about that. Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback, has come in for UNLV, and they have not missed a single beat. Their offense has been better than it was with Matt Sluka, who slid out of the door there at UNLV.
You gotten any extra money from that yet, or he's just kind of...
I called it when it happens. It's going to be a terrible backfire. It already looks that way because the offense has been better since. You mentioned the college football playoff discussion. Obviously, I think Boise State is the front runner for a group of five.
Definitely.
I know Army and Navy are undefeated, and they've got their challenges ahead. I think if Boise State wins out, they're going to have the best loss on the schedule, of course.
Yeah.
We won't mention that.
No, we can because people might not know.
It was a late field goal to Oregon.
They had a 10-point lead against Oregon in the fourth quarter, and it took a couple special teams plays by Oregon to get back in the game. And they very well could have beaten Oregon in that game. And
you're wearing the UW shirt. I didn't want to mention the Ducks that in a positive light.
Oregon's the number one team in the country. I was
trying to avoid it.
They're going to be mentioned. I don't like any of that.
But it's the best loss any group of five teams is going to have. It has right now or will have.
Just barely lost to the undefeated number one team in the country. And they may very well have the best player in the country at running back for their team. So they're getting the attention that a group of five school wouldn't normally be getting because of the way that he's playing. I don't want to sell Travis Hunter short. He may be the best player in college football, but he's been injured. He's missed some time. And the numbers that Austin Jeanty is putting up is outrageous. I mean, this dude's going to have 2,000 yards by the end of the season and like 30 touchdowns.
We talk about the playoff implication, also the Heisman implication. Jeanty, you're looking for him to go for over 200 and four touchdowns.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of believe it or not, that's like an average game for
just
him. That's what he's doing.
That's just a game for him. So that's tonight. You mentioned it, so I'll go with it. Illinois at Oregon tomorrow. Oregon's first game this season as number one. Number one teams have not fared well at number one this year. They've lost when becoming number one, or at least soon thereafter. Hopefully that happens to Oregon on Saturday afternoon. I don't think it will.
We were talking during the off-the-cuff podcast, which is going to be available at 2 p.m., and I mentioned teams that are good, but like they're not elite at anything. That's Illinois. Like, I'm sorry, they're just not elite at anything. They're a good offense, not great. They're a good defense, not great. They have a good head coach, not great.
Right. I think if you wanted to give them any sort of, like, they're not elite at it. But if the thing that they're best at is not one specific thing. It's they tend to be good at getting the game played at the pace that they played at, which...
Very tough challenge against Oregon, though.
It's not going to lead to them winning the game, but covering a 22-point spread might be hard in a game where the possessions are going to be limited.
In terms of winning, it just feels like too much has to go right.
Yeah. No, I agree. Although I hope it does. Missouri at Alabama. Obviously, this is just a massive game for Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide. They've lost two out of three. The Natives are restless, as well they should be, because they haven't played particularly well in a couple of those games. Now, Missouri is without their quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any eligibility left? When you and I are done with United today, we might have to fly up to Missouri and suit up. So
that line has continued to grow because of the injuries that Missouri is dealing with. So now Alabama's favored by 18. Still, that seems dicey, man, the way that they've been playing. Here's a Kalen DeBoer stat for you if you're thinking about investing a little money into that game. 18 of the last 22 games that he's coached in conference, meaning this year in the SEC and the 2 years prior in the Pac-12, have been a touchdown or less. The game has been decided by a touchdown or less. And in many of those games, Washington was favored by double digits, just like Alabama is tonight. He just coaches close games. I don't know why that's the case. It is the case. His teams play close games. They tend to win most of them. But 18 of the last 22 conference games he's coached in have been a touchdown or less final score. So 18 seems like a lot.
Yeah, Missouri played a little bit last week without Brady Cook. He left the building a week ago. He got injured in the first quarter. He went to the hospital, got his ankle checked out, and then came back to the stadium. Ran out in the fourth quarter like he's Shane Falco and led them to a game-winning drive. So they got a little experience, but it feels like a tall task. Again, without the quarterback, and they haven't really been what they were last year anyways on either side of the ball.
Yeah.
Still got Luther Burden, so who knows?
They haven't played, right, but like you said, they haven't played well anyway, even with all their guys. Being without them seems challenging. The final two undefeated teams in conference in the SEC are playing tomorrow night as well. LSU at Texas A&M, be honest with you, did not expect those two teams to be the final two undefeated teams in conference at this point of the season, but they are. So when it's all said and done tomorrow night, there will be one team in the SEC that's either 5-0 or 4-0, the Aggies and the Tigers. I think this one's going to be a really good one. I think LSU has the quarterback advantage. A&M has an incredible defensive front. That LSU linebacker, we were talking about him yesterday, Whit Weeks is a monster, and he's a game changer. But I think this can be, it's a 1-point spread. And I expect it to be really good.
It's an incredibly difficult game to analyze. Yeah. And I was speaking with Garrett Chapman, who I host College Football Game Time with, and neither of us had a good read on it. Brett McMurphy, who does college football as well, was on Dukes and Bell. He admitted that he doesn't have a good read on this game. It's just not a good read. I don't know what Connor Wegman I'm getting. He tore up Missouri 2 weeks ago. He was through two interceptions against Mississippi State last week. It's a mess. This game is a mess, and I don't know what to expect, which makes it probably the most anticipated game of the weekend because I don't have a feel. I don't have a read. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen to this thing.
I know
huge home field advantage. Maybe that's the difference.
And you heard Nussmeier say earlier in the week, he's like, it's fine home field advantage. It ain't Death Valley. So the fans are going to be riled up to try to get him off his game if they can. And if he makes a mistake, that place is going to go nuts.
I don't think either team wants this game to be on the shoulders of their quarterbacks. For LSU, it's got to be Caden Durham.
Yeah.
For Texas A&M, find a way.
Nussmeier is such an interesting
– Yeah.
Such an interesting player because, he makes great throws.
Right.
And he's clearly, he probably has the best arm in the SEC, and he's made some really important throws for them.
The consistency play by play, though.
But even in that game, was that the last game they played, or maybe it was the one before that, where he's throwing darts in the fourth quarter and overtime to win the game.
That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, he tore up Arkansas.
He went 22-50 in the game.
Yeah.
Right? So
but he had two huge touchdowns.
He did have two huge touchdowns late, and everyone's focused on those great throws.
And it was through coverage.
They were great throws. They were great throws. And since that game, there's been a lot of conversation about, maybe he's QB1.
More than anyone in the
People have started to really love him from an NFL perspective.
He gives you glimpses of being special more than any other quarterback in the SEC, but he also just falls into, from time to time, the just an average quarterback thing. It's just I don't know.
Game day is going to be at Indiana.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber.
South Lawn Memorial Stadium, baby.
Kyle Schwarber's the guest picker, which I'm just like.
I'm sorry, who?
They got to have somebody.
What?
We were joking earlier in the week, like, Abe went there. Get Abe out there. If you went out there and said you were Kyle Schwarber, how many people watching would actually know?
I'd have to change my facial hair. Body type's not too dissimilar at this point.
Nobody, I don't know. Whatever, that doesn't matter. I didn't realize this. Washington and Indiana are both top eight in college football in terms of total defense. So maybe it's a little bit of a slog tomorrow afternoon. Maybe
Indiana's
that's why,
also got like six straight games scoring 435 plus or whatever the number is.
It's true. It's true.
Backup quarterback.
Over-under in that game's 54.5. Maybe that's why the line hasn't moved much, because they expect it to be a lower scoring game. I'm not sure. I hope Washington just goes out there and
don't say it.
Gives it their best.
There you go. They can give their best.
I hope they try their hardest and everyone has fun. I just hope both teams have fun. I don't have a lot of confidence in this one, man. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I understand Indiana's quarterback's hurt. The guy that came in for him looked awesome.
It was last week, seven of eight with a touchdown, 115 yards, whatever it was.
Washington got blown out of the building by Iowa, who doesn't score on anybody.
41 points?
Yeah. They got destroyed by Iowa. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Indiana wins this game by 3 touchdowns tomorrow. I hope they don't, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do. I know you hope they do. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We got 45 minutes of NFL football to start the noon hour, to continue the noon hour, to dominate the noon hour. Coming up next, this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll be right back.